So I don't know who else here is crazy about this, but it's NFL season now. And I'm watching the Chiefs and the Chargers right now as we're recording. Right above my screens here. And we've been doing this for a while. People know I'm crazy about football. Uh-huh. But I am crazy about football. I consume an obscene amount of football content, even in the off season. The entire, from the Super Bowl all the way up until yesterday, when the season started, I watch football content every week, multiple times a day, every day. I'm a psycho.
The man follows sports reporters on social media. Yeah, so it's not just like he sees them on cable TV and stuff. No. The social media accounts of sports reporters.
Yeah, there's plenty of times that I'll see Kelly comment on something, and then it's something that I'm just like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, yeah. I thought that was going to be interesting to me, but it was not.
Yeah, he said words.
I mean, I listened to no less than 5 podcasts on NFL podcasts, and none of those are ESPN.
Are they or diverse like, enough like, in like their, what they talk about? Because like the guys on the ESPN just talk about like the same shit sometimes over and over again, because you know they generate the content, but
the podcasts do, like, yes, I mean, it's a ton of it is similar content, but I listen to like the film guys and the analytics guys. The ESPN stuff is just dribble. It's all just hard garbage.
Yeah.
There's some good people on there, like Mina Kimes is awesome.
Right.
And yeah. And they do have, there are people on like the mainstream shows that are good, but the ones that you see the most on the internet, like First Take and mostly First Take, they're terrible. I don't watch First Take at all. They're awful. But yeah, I mean, there's the film people, there's the analytics people. Then there's like the aggregators who just watch ESPN and then they talk about what ESPN says on their show. I don't really watch them either. I did for a little bit. Like, there's a couple of good Ravens podcasts that are kind of like mostly aggregators where they talk about what is being talked about the Ravens on like ESPN and Fox Sports. But I'm bored of them. Those shows don't interest me as much. I like the guys who get really deep into it. But yeah, it's NFL season. Yesterday was the start of the season. It's probably my favorite day of the year is the start of NFL season. Above all the holidays, first day of NFL is just warms my soul. Look forward to it literally from the day after the Super Bowl.
I'll be honest with you. This is the first season in quite some time that I am very excited, and that is mostly due to the epic fantasy draft I had this year. So, got first round pick, got Jamar Chase, very excited to see the season kick off. Right. Everything came up Jed during the fantasy draft this year.
Wait, what's a CR level? Come on, you got to dumb it down to a Pathfinder here, because otherwise, my eyes are glazing over. Honestly, as you're
he's like
right
a
now.
Level 17 wide receiver. Oh, okay, like he's solid stuff.
Okay, now I understand.
But no, it was funny. We had our fantasy draft, family fantasy draft, and we were starting this new thing this year where we're doing a punishment for the lowest ranking team.
Oh, okay.
And we all put our ideas for punishments into a hat, and they put, like I said, everything came up Jed. I got first round draft pick because I did the hook a key with a paperclip fastest in 3 seconds okay. flat, and then we did the pull punishments from a hat, and my 1,000 word essay about what you could have done better in your fantasy season was picked as the punishment. Has to be an MLA format and will be run through AI detectors.
Hey. I didn't know you did fantasy, Jed.
Oh yeah. Well, I haven't. I mean, I really started doing it again last year. I did it a lot like 3 years ago, and then I took a little break, mostly because our kids were so young during the draft party that I played babysitter, and then didn't but play for a year or two, and then I got really back into it a big way last year.
Nice.
And then this year I buckled in, and you know, I was waiting with my phone, hovering over the phone when free agency opened up. I got good stuff going this year. I'm very excited. So
that's sick. Yeah, I'm in 3 leagues this year, and Tim's in his first league this year because he's in one. He's in our league.
Hey.
Oh, look at you!
Nice.
I think I did pretty good during the draft. What do you think, Cal?
No, you didn't. No, I was. Tim didn't draft a quarterback. He didn't. He drafted.
Come on, even I know.
His two starting running backs were both backups. he had like he didn't have a good tight end. I don't think you drafted a kicker either. No, which, you know, whatever.
I was expecting him to be the agent of chaos who gets a quarterback in the second round and then picks a defense in the third round.
No, Tim went pure vibes. It seems he did get he got three good wide receivers, which is the only thing that will help him win any games this year. But
you follow your heart.
Yeah, you do whatever you want, man.
You do what you want.
I'm officially helping Tim this whole season. Yes. To help him with his lineup and pickups.
It's funny.
So Kelly has four fantasy teams this year.
Yeah, four teams this year.
See, I am always a big fan during the draft party to be like, all right, I'm drafting a quarterback in the first round, and everyone goes, and it begins! Because you're not supposed to. I just love throwing that out there, and people go, why?
Are you not supposed to do that?
Not really. You're supposed to go after running backs and wide receivers. Oh. During the first couple rounds, but I always am the one who switches it up and gets either goes tight end or something, and then everyone goes, oh, this guy.
I was.
Because then everyone starts jumping on the bandwagon and starts messing everything up, and then people are like, oh, I was going to get this quarterback in the third round, but now I can't.
You would be shocked at how many strategies you can actually deploy during a fantasy draft. I had a spreadsheet open tiered player rankings. Not just rankings, but players in tiers. So I was like, if I was going for picking between a wide receiver and a running back in a given round, I was choosing what receivers and running backs were left and which what tier they were in their respective position.
Wow.
So if there was if I needed a running back, but there was only a tier C left, but there was a tier B wide receiver left, I took the receiver because that's a better value pick. Yeah. So you can get real deep into it, which I do.
Text me next year, Tim. I will send you some material before you go in. I will send you some reading material. I'll teach you how to read the chicken bones.
Bold of you to assume there will be a next year, but I'll keep it in mind.
Anywho, I don't want this all to be about football because I know Mark and Jake aren't super big into that. So, what fandom are you crazy about? That's what I was really kind of getting at here. I'm crazy about football. What's your fandom?
I would absolutely do those, but I would just get so into it that I'm like, I don't think I should do that. That's the problem.
Football is the greatest show on earth.
I would really like it, and I would get really involved, and then Hannah would be like, you've been on your phone for 10 hours. Like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. That's if I don't have enough problems.
I make it work. I'm on my phone for 10 hours, and I still live.
Oh, hell no. I'll do it once, and I'll forget I made a team, and then I'll just not even think about it.
Oh, my God.
So what's your fandom?
I feel like I am so spread out on fandoms that I don't think there's one that I'm particularly crazy about, which is the problem.
What's your flavor of the week? What are you into now?
Yeah.
Adventure Time. He's been into Adventure Time this entire time.
What's going on the Adventure Time subreddit, Tim?
See, with the Adventure Time stuff, I know people who listen to Adventure Time episodes to go to sleep at night. I don't do that, so that's think I'm crazy. Yeah, it's very cute. Linus from Linus Tech Tips does it.
Oh.
So I don't think I'm crazy. Flavor of the week. Gosh, I mean, I guess flavor of the week would probably be Gamers Nexus. Just because he's really speaking to the powers that be recently, he exposed the NVIDIA GPU black market, and he's getting copyright strikes from Bloomberg, of all people.
Interesting.
That took down his documentary, and Bloomberg accepts a lot of money from NVIDIA for sponsor slots.
Right,
of course. Accepts money from the government of Singapore, where the GPUs are being funneled through.
Yep.
And they also accept sponsor money from China, which is who is the, the agent of, where the GPUs are going. And they're an American press that's owned by, Jeff Bezos or something? I don't remember who
Jeff Bezos owned
by.
Wall Street Journal,
was,
I think.
Yeah.
Maybe he might
own Bezos. Bezos is Washington Post.
But whoever owns Bloomberg has a bone in the race. I don't know if they have NVIDIA stock or something. Yeah, I don't know. So I would say my flavor of the week probably is Gamers Nexus, because I'm still waiting for the documentary to get back up on YouTube so I can finish it, because it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, apparently the saying of the smugglers is, NVIDIA has one eye opened and one eye closed. That's like that's the nearest translation for the Chinese phrase.
Interesting.
Yep. It's all about those AI chips.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I heard they're building a new data center in Wyoming right now that's going to use more power by itself than every resident in the state combined. So that's fun.
Oh, yep. Just corporations getting a bunch of shit again.
Each of these bands makes me a little bit more depressed each time we talk about something like that.
Yeah, Kelly brings the depressing bands.
Yeah. So, as someone who has watched my electric bill go increase by 25% since April, I'm pretty mad about data centers and their energy consumption right now.
Yeah. No, I get it.
So are you part of the energy fandom there?
The energy.
Well, I mean, if you want me to start talking about abundance, then yes.
I'll just take my headphones out, so you can just keep going.
I'm John here with Neighborhood Evolution.
Hey, John's the best. He's the most wholesome person I follow.
John is great. He's great. I love John.
What are you into, Mark? What gets you going these days?
Whoa, Kelly, not that kind of podcast.
Well, it depends on what you're asking.
You can talk about jorking it.
What?
What?
I didn't hear you completely, so. I don't know. Honestly, like, I go back and forth between, like, a bunch of different things, depending on how I'm feeling during the week and stuff right now. So, but right now, the fandom, obviously, since Silksong came out,
yeah.
I'm going back into the platforming Metroidvania-style fandoms, yep. Where I'm trying to complete as much as possible, tips, tricks, all that stuff, corresponding with different people that are also playing it, and kind of obsessing over certain things just because it allows me to really dissociate really nicely after work and just be like, boom, I can just do this. This is great. I don't know. Before that, what the hell was it? See, that's the thing. Like, it's like recently I just like do something for a bit and then I'm like forgetting it. And
right.
Like, I know for a while I was obsessed with the Terry Pratchett fandom. I mean, I don't even consider it fandom. It's just reading all of his books. And I think I got through 3/4 of his books. I mean, he has like 40-something books.
No, it's just, he's prolific, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, stuff like that. I mean, honestly, I just don't have anything fully on board of, like, details. It's just stuff that I go like, oh, I want to look more into this, and then keep going further and further and further, and like what other people started. Like, oh, did you catch this? I'm like, huh, I did not. And then go from there.
So you're not a Swiftie or anything? Not waiting for the Eras Tour to come nearby?
No. No, I can't say I have. Actually, the most recent concert was at an Ice Nine Kills concert. So
that's a good one.
And oh, that's a fun one. Actually, that was actually pretty damn fun. It brought me back to my roots of 2000s fun scene, metal, mm-hmm. all that fun stuff.
For real.
Horrorcore. So good.
What do you got, Jed? I know you're you got some brand loyalty over there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anyone who subscribes to the Dragon Punch Squad podcast Discord plug... can take a look inside the arts and crafts sub channel.
Oh, yeah.
And see hundreds of miniatures that have been painted by me specifically for the Halo Flashpoint War Games board game. I am, since probably, I don't know, 14 or 15, I have been a hardcore Halo fan. I have read probably every single novel, except for maybe like 3 that were like young adult novels, and I'm like, I'll just listen to an audio, a book review on a
I'm
podcast.
I'm not investing time in that. That's dumb.
I'm not going to invest that much time, but I have read, I know the extended lore like the back of my hand. It's just my favorite thing, and I'm just so sad to see the state of the actual company who makes the game. It makes me very sad.
Is it Bungie still? Or is it...
They've had... No, Bungie gave up... After Halo Reach, like, a while back, they split the company into two companies. It became 343 Industries, and they made, like, 1.5 good games and, like, 2 or 3 bad ones, and it's just a bummer. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's been a bummer to be at least the last game that came out was actually pretty good. It's just modern gaming issues with, you know, it going out half-baked and then we'll fix it in post and then there's not enough resources and then there's worker turnover and then people are leaving the company and then it's just, oh, it's so bad. And they finally, after like 3 years of like, you know, live service CPR, it's playable and I enjoy it. I mean, we've had a couple Forge game nights where we battled for the Bikini Bottom and all that goofy nonsense we did.
As well.
There's some Forge is the map creator for it, and someone made a full scale Bikini Bottom map where you could fight the Covenant inside the in a SpongeBob map.
That's amazing. Sweet.
We all held the Krusty Krab to the last one.
So get back to the Krusty Krab.
It's very fun. So there's still some magic there. Trust me, it's still there. It's just mismanaged.
I hope every time someone got blown up by a rocket launcher, you were like, my leg.
Yeah. They're trying to bring us chocolate. Chocolate.
So I would start screaming every time I'm about to start shooting somebody.
Yeah.
A battle cry.
See, all I know about Halo is that he, you know, he's a pretty cool guy. He just kills aliens and doesn't afraid of anybody.
Doesn't afraid of anything.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Mr. Halo.
Honestly, last one, God. Mr. John Halo. I think Reach was the last Halo I remember really, really fucking liking. I think.
Oh, Reach was
peak. I think that was peak. I mean, honestly, I remember once I got it was Xbox 360. I just played it over and over and over again.
A gritty war story of survival and sacrifice. So good.
Oh, well, one thing I know that we're all fans of are zombies. We've all been fans of zombies for a long time.
Zombies?
Oh, yeah. No, Timmy, known fan of zombies.
Hey, teacher. We didn't talk about my fandom.
Dang.
I know. I took too long doing football. Go with your fandom. Let's go.
I'm big in the metal scene. And like metalcore and stuff like that. So I'll make this quick. Recently, there was a picture that went out with, it was Amy Lee, Poppy, and Courtney from a band called Spirit Box. And everybody was like, why are they all taking a picture together? That's cool. And then they released like a triple collab. And so everybody's losing their fucking mind over that.
The early 2000s.
Yeah, so everyone's joking that it's the mother, daughter, and holy spirit box of metal. Which is just fucking cool. So like that's just something awesome, and I'm like I'm going to two concerts coming up. Like I don't know, like I'm big into the metal scene and the metalcore scene. And like I've just noticed a lot of collabs recently. Fit for a King had one with a band called Alpha Wolf. On their latest album, and Silent Planet did one. Sick, they did like a whole EP collab with a band called Invent Animate, and it all just goes so fucking hard. And like metal has just evolved so much in such a cool way that I'm loving like the metal scene right now. That's where I'm at. If there's a way to see what people are listening to on Spotify, it is only pretty much those bands right now. I just cycle those bands.
Solid. Well, anyway, you have just fought your second zombie encounter. This whole trip through this town has been oddly zombie-free, other than a couple of encounters. But this time you were in the Pick and Pint Tavern, which looked like, from the tap room, which you've already explored, this looked like some sort of last holdout. People were here for a long time. There were animal bones, dirty dishes, bedding areas, children's drawing on the wall, and then just tons of gore. A lot of people died here. The wall had collapsed in the back of the tavern, while the barricade out front had been destroyed. There was a lot of blood and a lot of gore out in the front, where it looks like people were fighting, trying to fend off the advance of whatever broke in here.
Dead horses that were
dead horses apart. In the back. And then, yeah, you explored a little bit into the back, and in one of the rooms there was barricaded, and there was a rather large man who had been zombified and quarantined into this room. And you all dispatched him pretty quickly, but old Edmund didn't do much help on the on that one. Instead, he decided
I blame the dice.
Yeah, well,
you just.
Corbinian can't blame the dice. In the back of
Corbinian. yeah. Corbinian got his first taste of death metal, one could say.
Yeah. There you go.
Like that. It was a knife.
Knife in the back.
So we'll pick it up right there. The zombie crumbles to the ground. Corbinian rips this knife out of his back. And you all turned around and looked at Edmund, the look of shame on his face.
I hope he's doing, like, the, what was it, James, the comedian, the fat guy that's always with Adam Sandler and all that stuff? Kevin James.
Is
that just Edmund doing the Kevin James shrug?
that's exactly what he's doing. Just like,
guess I stabbed you in the neck, huh?
Yep, that's me.
Bet you're wondering how I got here.
Bet you're wondering how I got here.
It's those bloody cigarettes he's smoking. I knew it.
He goes, all right. Oh, man. Corbinian, look, you're fine. And he goes over to your neck, and there's just a trail of blood all down your back.
Yeah, and he just, like, hits your hand away. He's like, get your gobshite hand away from me. You'll kill me if you touch me. I just need some time alone. And he just kind of shuffles off to the other room, and he's like, next time you try to whiz around a dagger, just make sure I'm not in the line of fire, got it? Phrasma's made it very clear it isn't my time yet, but I got a feeling it might be yours soon.
Damn.
No. I'm doing it for a promotion, you'll see.
What? Doing it for a promotion. If the promotion is taking a trip to the River of Souls, then you're well on your way.
Fjorn just like kind of cocks his head to the side, just kind of like trying to understand.
Say something irrelevant to distract them.
Wait
a second. He's trying to distract us.
Can't be mad at me. I'm getting promoted.
I'm getting promoted. I'll be your manager. Well, he just looks back at the other two, and it's just like, it really was an accident. It was a tight corridors, and you know, it's not optimal for me to be casting spells in here. And maybe next time we could, you know, try to figure out the better circumstances, right?
You know, you would think with all that intelligence, you wouldn't, throw a knife down a narrow hallway, but. Who am I? I'm not a wizard, so I guess I don't know. And he's just going to walk into the room kind of like, that is that.
Well, I failed my medicine check, so...
Are you dead?
No, thankfully I didn't crit fail. If I crit failed, then I would have been bleeding out.
Yes, then
you
would have dropped,
Wait,
how much HP did you have?
I have one hit point.
Oh my god.
I have one hit point.
Corbinian could have been, like, easily just killed by Edmund, like, dying to...
Dude, if he...
Very right off there.
If he bled out in the other room trying to patch the wound in his neck.
It was his time.
We're all arguing in the hallway. Right.
Yeah. Well,
let's go get and check on him. He's just dead.
He walked in here. What happened?
We probably shouldn't let him go in here alone.
Half of his blood is on the floor.
So I'm going to burn one of my heal spells. Or not burn. I say well spend.
I was about to say, you kind of need it.
Kind of. I rolled decent. Got 26 hit points, so.
Oh, yeah, that seemed bad.
Yeah.
I guess that was a level 2.
Yeah, yep, level 2, so I got that plus 16 because I did the 2 action.
Good stuff.
So now I have...
Is it a bad time to bring up that, like, we didn't use a hero point?
Oh, yeah. Jake could have used a hero point.
I could have, yeah.
But instead decided to almost kill me.
I didn't... Here's the thing. When you're a GM a lot, you don't think about hero points often.
That's fair. That's fair.
I was so shocked by the amount of damage I did. I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Is that 3d6 now you're rolling for that?
Yeah, there's 3d6.
Times 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brutal.
Yeah, 3d6 and you rolled a 14.
Yep.
Damn.
Yep, that's what it was. So,
almost killed him.
Well.
All right. Well, we got one more room to check in.
It looks like the back of the or like the kitchen, I suppose. to the bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have we found a hole in the floor in this one yet? I can't remember.
Not yet.
You did. It was under this collapsed part of the wall in the back.
Oh, okay, that's right.
I couldn't remember if it was there or by the drawings.
Yeah, it was a sinkhole that opened up in the wall, and the wall collapsed under it.
Okay.
Huh. That seems to almost imply that the breakout happened, and then later, there were unearths from below.
Mm-hmm. You mean the outbreak?
Yeah, like there was the outbreak. Yeah. People holed up, and then tunneled up. At first, I thought we had the theory of it's underneath the gravesite, and there just so happened to be gravesites all over the place. But now I think I'm on Team Tunnel. There's like a vast network of tunnels underneath.
Zombie tunnels.
Zombie tunnels.
Shame none of us have tremor sense. We might be able to feel something under our feet or something. Yeah.
Cast earthquake. Collapse every tunnel.
What are you waiting for, Edmund? You gotta open the last door or what?
Yeah. Let me do that.
Maybe I should toss a granola bar in there or something.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Seems to be the running strategy.
The beef goes first. he'll walk up to the door and pound on it like he's been doing. See if he hears any stirring, and then
no stirring.
All right, we'll kick that one open.
Kick the door open. Do you have dark vision? Yeah, you're a dwarf.
Yes. Okay.
So it's dark in here. It appears to be a kitchen. And it's pretty messy. There is some blood in here, so people definitely died in here. But there's also lots of dirty dishes. There's a hearth. And there is a number of rations in here. There's 6 days' worth of rations.
They said they were starving, weren't they?
We did. I don't think it ever implied that they were starving.
Just that they had been eating here for a while.
Oh,
said that they'd been here for a while.
Lots of food.
I thought you meant that someone was hoarding food and not letting anyone else have it.
No. You found animal bones, rat bones and stuff. People were catching and eating rats. These rations are oats and basic stuff.
Yeah. So they were eating the rats to save the rations for when the rats were gone, kind of deal.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yep, so you find a bunch of rations. You find 6 bottles of anise blueberry liquor.
Ooh,
nice.
Those are in the cabinet.
I'll be pocketing those.
I take one over to Corbinian, and I'm like, hey, why don't you, this one's all yours.
Corbinian just kind of looks down at it and looks at him like, are you trying to feed me poison now, are you? Then I didn't know the trick, so you decided to finish me off with the bottle.
Technically, it's like he's thinking categorically, it kind of is.
I mean, it's good poison, though. You gotta drink it.
You look over, and Half Yarn is halfway through.
Love it. Just mouth blue.
Have you been drinking?
It's not bad, honestly. It's pretty good.
I have to make that 5 bottles of anise blueberry liquor.
5.5
Do I get any status effects?
Rest in this room, there are a number of crates and barrels stacked in the corner. A good 20 of them or so. And
looks like there's another door. Oh, yep. Sorry, my bad.
There is another door.
Yay!
Oh.
You want to take this one?
Yes. Conclude this building.
We'll take turns.
Yes. He'll do the same thing. He hits the door with a shield.
No sound.
Boom, boom.
All right. And he's going to kick this door open. Shield raised as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
And this opens up into a storage room. So you find more crates and barrels. You find linens. You find various tools. Just a pretty standard, just back room. You've got a saw, hammers, chisels, box of nails, bunch 70 feet of rope.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Mm, okay.
Rope's good.
Yeah.
Take the rope.
You also find a small barrel of lamp oil that's about half full, containing about 20 pints.
Oh my god.
Take that.
Definitely, we need that.
Yep, and then there's also another door to the south out of this room.
After you.
Wow. No, there's another...
Another
I
door.
Know, it's like one, a door within two. A door within yeah. a door.
You know, it reminds me of like the, have you ever seen like the sacred geometry yes. where it's like the rectangles going inward? That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Is that with the fractals or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
We're entering the spiral.
Jake's like, that let hard. Me take you to the another map.
Oh, bang on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm kicking in.
And it's just a small office with a little desk.
Oh.
And
oh, wow. Go through and see if there's any notes.
You find a ledger.
Ah.
So the ledger details basically the daily and weekly goings-on of the pick and pint for many months.
Mm-hmm.
About... Oh, let's see. So there's an entry about a month ago. So you're looking through this for like 10 minutes or so. But you're towards the back of the ledger. About a month ago, there was a large drinking party at the Pick and Pine with lots of people. And just talks about like how much liquor was used, how much food was sold, like all this, all the just like normal boring stuff. But at the end of this entry, it says, the party ended abruptly when the body was found.
Huh.
Oh.
And it talks about how they found a person in town who was just, like, brutally murdered.
Huh. And do we have a... Does it say the date on there? Like, how long ago it was?
A month ago.
It was a month ago. Okay, a month ago. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then... You go through there, and there's a couple of more entries about how there's, like, weird disappearances going on in town. And then you start hearing about... start seeing entries about the undead. You start reading entries about how the townspeople, some people have been trying to leave, but the path has just been very hard to get out of town with the amount of rain that's been falling for the season. You see some entries about people deciding to barricade up in their homes at night, especially. And that the dead are coming at night.
Huh. Ah, okay. So if...
What time of day is it now?
I was going to say, do we need to hold up?
It's about
early
it's
afternoon,
about
I thought.
Okay.
Okay, afternoon. So we have some time to at least explore the rest of the town.
Or at least one more building, maybe.
Yeah, do they say what time of night?
Just night.
Okay.
Can I roll? What kind of check would I need to know? I have a high crafting. I'm wondering if I can gauge how much time we would need to fortify the stone building in the middle of town. What was it?
Yeah.
I want to see if I can gauge how long it would take us to board that place up to see if we need to head there now. I was wondering if I could roll a crafting to like kind of gauge.
Yeah, can I actually aid with that? Because I have pretty good crafting. My crafting is +9.
As is okay. Mine.
So I will aid you since that was your idea.
Yeah.
I aid.
All right, that's going to be a 19.
Is that with 8?
What's the 8? What's the
plus 1
for modifier 8. For 8? Plus 1, 20.
Okay. To build a sturdy barricade or to close up an entryway into a building, it would take you about an hour to build a sturdy enclosure.
And there's two entrances?
That would take a successful crafting check. On a failed crafting check, it would take you about 2 hours.
Okay. And then there's two entries at the stone build. I'm forgetting the name of the shop.
Warlin's Yard.
Warlin's Yard. Yeah, I think it only had two entries, right?
Yeah.
It also had windows.
But did have...
So, the place... Well, Warlin's Yard has 9 entryways.
Because of all the windows.
Yeah. Well, here's my idea, too, is that, like, if they go to a place... If they go somewhere and they're, like, drawn by light... Or something like that. I could turn off my what's that item called? I could turn off my Everlight Crystal. You two have dark vision.
Mm-hmm. There should be we could probably blot out some windows in a single area.
Oh, yeah. Also, there's a mechanic that we don't typically use. Do you happen to be an expert in crafting?
I am.
So we can use the follow the expert exploration activity where. You are leading your members of your party in the task of fortifying crafting. What that allows is during exploration only, this is not something you can do in combat, your party members can add their level to their crafting check and they will get a plus 2 bonus where you get a plus 4. You get a plus 4 as an expert. So you get your normal, you're an expert, you got your level plus 4 during the follow the expert. All of you can roll crafting checks at what level you are. You get 3 plus 2, so plus 5 on your crafting, plus your ability score. So if all of you are fortifying things, assuming you make the DCs, you can do as much barricading as you want. And if you're making them, it's an hour per person. And if you're failing, it's 2 hours per entryway.
Okay.
All right.
So y'all are lucky. I literally read about following the expert like 2 days ago, and I was like, you know, we never use this because you can use it for stealth. You can use it for stealth.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that because that it plays so well into his character. I'm thinking about like he was an Ulfin raider. He was on long ships. They were constantly repairing their ships, and I imagine also there's probably some runes he could probably put on those entryways to ward off undead as well with his his class.
Yeah, so, for sure. It'll be absolutely appropriate. When I read about this, I was like, oh my god, how many times have we failed stealth checks because fucking John as a paladin has like a plus 1 to stealth.
I know, yeah.
Right. He could be getting like a plus 14.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh man. That's brutal.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So that's an incredibly important activity to use, and that will help you guys to hunker down wherever you end up wanting to stay.
Yeah.
At this point it becomes very clear that the undead are going to come at night, and you guys are probably going to be staying here. The last entry in this book says that our provisions are running low. I don't know how long we can hold out. The end is coming. And that is the last entry.
Ooh.
Oh.
Gruesome.
And that was 1 week ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow. So much bad. Just happened.
Yep.
Huh.
And it's written frantically. Like, this person probably wrote this while this place was being assaulted.
Right, yeah.
We finally got the journal we were looking for.
Finally got that journal.
Wait, where's the part of the journal where they're like, we experimented making zombies?
We spliced horse DNA with this virus, oh no.
There is an entry about how somebody died in the tavern and they quarantined them in the bedroom and they just didn't know what to do.
I mean, as you do. You're just like, oh shit, he's dead. Well.
I mean, literally, yeah. What else can you do, yeah?
Yeah, besides burn bodies. Whew. All right, I guess we go back to the stone building, but I would say, could I use Because Theron doesn't really have a crafting check, but could he use his athletics, which he's an expert at, to, like, make it easier to drag materials over?
If you're going to work on a barrier, it's going to be crafting. And the Warland Yard had a lot of supplies, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you could definitely transport more supplies over there if you think that's useful.
Yeah, I think we move the rations at least. The lamp oil and any building materials that we have.
Now, you do have plenty of time. It's only 3 o'clock. You have time to explore more of the town. There was the whole east or west side of the town that you haven't even explored yet. And you know there's a graveyard over there. There was another large structure kind of behind the Pick and Pint that looked like it might have been burned down. Hmm. And then there were a number of houses. Hmm. You wanted to find Jokra's house as well.
I would love to just, like... Okay, if we know that these things come at night, then we know that we can kind of walk around freely. I would love to just walk around with Detect Magic and see if I get any pings. Because I feel like if I get to a house that has, like, a bunch of pings, I feel like that would be a pretty good indication where she might be. Because she was arcane inclined.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a strategy.
I will say that the fonts of protection from Pharasma are almost all but expended today. And if we're trying to defend against the undead at night, I'm going to need to rest in order to recover my strength.
True.
It might be a good idea if we hole up and rest for the night. We take care of the undead at the night, and then during the day, we do the same process over again. So basically, like, I use my cantrips, you know, when we're exploring during the day, maybe save a couple good spells. But, like, if I could save my fonts for at night, mm-hmm. then I could really blast and heal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I have one heal left, and then I have a couple good spells left.
Okay, gotcha. I mean,
thing is, once we fortify once... It doesn't mean they're going to destroy every single barrier every single night.
Well, yeah.
So the next day it might be even faster for us to prepare, and I can, you know... Yeah, maybe I don't need to sleep as much or something, but... Yeah. If only we had some sort of, like, stone that would allow me to get a full night's rest in a couple hours.
I go look for an ion stone that might do that.
Level 9 idol just lying around.
That would absolutely be perfect for someone like holding out against zombies.
Oh,
just
yeah.
like give it to the cleric, have them blast the heal spell, sleep for 2 hours, lather, rinse, repeat.
Okay, so I do want to go around and just, like I said, use detect magic because it's literally, was it 30? What's the range on that?
It's 30.
30 feet.
Yeah, 30 foot emanation. So I just want to walk around and go up to like each house and just like, you know, do a thorough sweep and just see if I get any pings.
It's a scary thing now thinking about that though. Just the that they come at night, so it's like where are all these bodies at? They're somewhere.
Yeah. Right. Where do they go when it's not night?
Yeah, that's my next thought do we follow them back in the morning?
Oh god. See where they go.
So making your way out of the Pick and Pint, to the south are two houses and then what looks like the large burnt down structure. And then you can go across one of the two bridges to the west into the rest of town, where there's a number of houses and you know that the cemetery's over there too.
Let's not go to the cemetery.
I mean, it would be... can we see if there's just like a whole bunch of dug up grave plots from here?
Remember, it's pouring down rain. You'd have to go see.
Disability is greatly diminished. Disability
is non-existent. Okay.
All those graves are like little swimming pools now. They're dug up.
Personal pools for everybody. Alright, I want to go south to the two houses and then hit the burned down one.
Yeah. I think we could do that and then head back to the stone structure afterwards.
We'll cross the river tomorrow, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. In that first house, you don't find much. It looks like there was, again, people barricaded in here, hole through the floor. The front door was hanging open, so maybe they escaped and ran somewhere else, or maybe they fought a little bit. But yeah, it's a very similar markings of some of the other houses up in the northeast part of the town. In the house to the south, it's another similar, it's the same kind of scene. People were barricaded in here, hole in the floor. Why don't you go roll a perception check in this one.
Okay.
21.
19 for Edmund.
18 for Theron.
16 for the Hazard.
You're going through you're just, you know, quickly searching this town. You got this house you guys are trying to move through. You probably want to get back pretty soon so you can start doing your fortifications. You are moving furniture around and you lift up push a couch out of the way, and you find like a body that's been like split in half.
Oh my god.
Split in half.
Yeah.
What? How?
Like ripped apart at the waist. Yeah. And this dead body is holding a coffer, but it's like covered in blood and guts and intestines and shit.
Jeez. Ooh. Yeah, it's rough. And I just, as I'm saying that, I'm just slowly pulling the coffer out of the hands.
You pull the coffer out of the hands and like their like rotted intestines like spill out onto your like shoes, and you have to roll a fortitude save.
Okay. I didn't want to, for radio, I didn't want to interrupt, but I was going to offer to get it. But if we want Edmund to roll, we can have him roll.
That's fine.
Yeah. Edmund being greedy, it's fine.
Okay.
He took initiative to steal this poor soul's last life savings.
Well, you don't need it. It could have helped us. So that is going to be a 10.
You have a hero point.
You have a hero point for this.
It's just gross stuff spilling on me.
It's just plague zombie disease.
It is not plague zombie disease. You fail and you're like, the smell overcomes you and you like, you just throw up. You're sickened for 1 hour.
It's so gross.
The half iron is behind you, laughing. He's just.
Shut up!
He's never seen viscerous.
It's the smell. It's the smell. I've seen gross stuff. That's just. It's the smell.
Nostrils.
It smells so bad.
He's like pats him on the back. He's like, "You'll get used to it. Don't worry."
For someone who seems so acquainted with dealing out death, it seems you can't handle the aftermath.
Usually we burn him. Oh my god! he's got like tears,
yeah,
you know. Like,
yeah.
Well, happily, through your vomit, you managed to get this coffer out of this dead man's hands.
All right,
Let's see if this is worth it.
And I imagine you clean off some of the blood and gore with some prestidigitation. If you got that, done. And inside, you find what was this person's life savings? You find 58 copper pieces. Whoa. 14 silver pieces and 8 gold.
Damn.
Person was ripped to pieces as they were trying to flee with their money. And that's it for this house.
Okay. All right, so go on to the next the burned down place. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this one is a what looks like a long house that is burned down. Charred remains of this once great hall are left in ruin. Melted lead from the once beautiful windows pool in the mud. A symbol of a grand bow with an arrow pointing down remains carved into the archway to this once grand hall. Barely visible on the marred lintel, you can see words that make out, "All are welcome at Erastil's table."
I think it was a rastle, yeah.
The front door is closed, but it looks fragile enough that you could just push it open, smash through it pretty easy.
Yeah, I'm worried about structural integrity for one.
Right.
Those things don't, buildings don't usually stand up well after they're on fire.
Oh, no.
Get you guys in here.
Yeah, I was going to say, so, I mean, Edmund's going to kind of look around and see, you know, if there's any, like, obvious places that we should not enter, any part of it that might be dangerous to go in.
It looks like if you guys are careful, it's not that bad. Like, most of the building is in shambles. The corners are kind of the only thing holding this thing up anymore. The roof's caved in, clearly from the outside. And but you look like it's not too bad. I mean, maybe half yarn, you could roll a crafting check to confirm it.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. 24.
Nice.
Yeah, you give it a look, and you think this thing isn't going to collapse on you if you open this door.
Okay.
Cool. It's safe.
Yeah. Just repeat the thing. Hit the door, but. At this point, I mean, he's just going to open the door now because they're zombies.
Just swings open.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, there's big gaping holes in the side. I guess we could have just...
yeah, we could have
gone to the... walked around.
Yeah, it's not... It's this thing is not whole.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not much left over after the fire except what looks like a... what once beautiful long table. You take a moment and you're like the half yarn you with your knowledge of crafting, you're like, this is a fine table. It looks like it was a table crafted from a single tree.
Wow.
Yeah, as someone who spent his younger years in a hall like this, he's very forlorn and just pulls out his bottle of blueberry liquor and takes a swig and I hope they all made it to Elysium.
Go ahead and roll a perception check, everybody.
Yeah, I was going to say detecting magic. Do I get any pings here?
No magic.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
19.
Natural 20.
Natural 1.
26.
Duality.
So, Corbinian, you're just like, I guess somebody knocked over a candle. But but Theron takes a look around after you guys walk in, and you look back at the doors, and you, in the rubble kind of around the door entryway, you find like a piece of an iron pitten. And then something that you missed on the way in, that there was a piece of melted iron in the door, like handles as well. And you can tell that these doors were sealed shut from the outside.
Oh.
Okay.
And, so you...
Do you think so? He's kind of sitting... Half Iron's looking at this, and he's like, you don't think that they... rounded them up in here and then burnt the building to the ground, do you?
Could have been an attempt, but there's no bodies left over at all.
Half Iron, go ahead and roll a crafting check, Half Iron.
Okay.
You smell something on the air now that you're talking about how this place was sealed
25.
So you're like, something wrong went on here, knowing that the doors were sealed shut, and you catch a whiff of something on the charred remains of this place, and you pick up a piece of charred wood, and you give it another sniff, and you're 100% sure that there was an accelerant like alchemist fire used here.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was burnt to the ground.
On purpose.
For certain.
And as you pick up that piece of rubble, Half Iron, right where you were standing.
Oh, jeez.
out from under a collapsed piece of wall.
Son of a bitch.
A creature comes out. What do we roll? Some initiative.
Oh my god. Okay.
Boy. Can I still use my perception as my initiative?
Sure.
Yay, 26.
Well, don't want a good natural 20 to go to waste.
Of course.
Ooh, and then
let's go.
I was doing detect magic when we first walked in. I guess it'd just be a perception since we were looking around.
All right, Corbinian, start with you. What'd you get?
Corbinian got a cracked die and a non-cracked die for 21.
Okay. Edmund, what'd you get?
Got a 24.
Guess we're rolling rocks.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah.
Half iron?
25.
Oh, shit.
Whoa. Natural 18. Let's go.
Baron, you got a natural 20, so what'd you get?
That 26.
Dang,
cool. Man, what did my poor sap get? Let's see. Well, I got. I keep rolling well, too. See what.
So if we all roll well, nobody rolled well.
Exactly.
Alrighty. So out of this rubble, you see this thing.
Oh,
what the hell? Oh my!
Show
what
this
the
to
hell's
you all.
Even that?
What the hell is?
Oh,
you see this creepy looking, clearly a zombie, okay. But it is as it rises up. Just this acrid yellow smoke starts like seeping out of its skin.
Ooh.
And yeah, he's clearly a zombie, but yeah, he's nasty. He's got like fire cracking through his skin, this horrible stench coming off of him, this yellow gas. And it is Theron's turn.
Okay. From this creature, you said it's like a gas that's surrounding it?
That's right.
Not fire?
It's a gas.
Okay. Okay, so first he's got a... Okay, no, this is fine. Yeah, so from this position right here, he's just, his aura's up, he's going to cast, actually... I'm going to try something here. Unfortunately, can I do a skill check? Religion. Basically, I'm just trying to find out a particular bit of information about it.
Okay.
If it is related to the fire element at all.
Okay, so, go ahead and roll.
21.
21.
Like, does it have like a fire typing to it at all?
Yeah, if it's like a fire adjacent creature.
Yes.
It's weak to water. I choose you, Gyarados.
Like, if it has a tree.
You're rolling religion?
Yes.
You don't know. You can't tell.
Okay. So, at least. Alrighty. So, never mind. So, he instead is going to do a elemental blast against it. Earth is going to ball itself up and chuck directly at it. That is a... Jesus Christ, that was a good roll. 19 on die for 28 to hit.
That's a hit.
Just a hit. Ooh, shit. And that's 7 points of damage. Just a clod of earth just smacks into this thing.
You said 7?
And... Yes. See what else I can do with one action. He's just on try it again. Impulse attack again. Except he's not gonna hit at all. So 2 on a die. So that's it.
Oh, you missed. Okay.
Yes, yeah, rolled a 2 on the die, so there's no way.
Alright, well, this thing rises out and it is his turn. And the half yarn is right there. As it goes out to punch you.
Oh boy. Pop.
That's going to be a 25 to hit.
Oh lord. Wow. Okay, that's a hit. That's a hit.
Hit you with the old Shoryuken.
Mm-hmm.
Ow.
5 to hit. And that will be 9 bludgeoning.
Ooh.
And you catch fire. And you will take some fire damage on your turn.
Okay. Oh my god. Okay.
Sheesh.
And go ahead and roll me a fortitude save, buddy.
Oh, really?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Wow.
Fortitude save coming up. Ooh, I like that. Natural 18 for A. Doing math is hard. 28.
All right, you're fine, but as this thing like hit you, you're engulfed in this acrid smoke, and your eyes were starting to burn. But you, but you're fine for now.
Okay.
Yep.
Fun times.
Okay. And it's just gonna keep swinging at you, buddy.
No, Lord, okay.
All right, that's going to be a 21 to hit.
That will miss.
Okay, nice. That's still a high hit.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You ain't kidding.
This is a zombie. He ain't got nothing else to do. He will miss with the last one with a natural 3. And okay. It is the half yarn's turn, and you will take 4 fire damage.
4 more fire damage. All right, so okay. All right, cool. Yeah, he will raise his shield and trace a rune on it, and then he will try to strike out with a rune tracing strike. Oh, yeah, let's go. Okay, so that's going to be a 24 hit.
24 hits.
All right, so it's going to be 6 plus 6. I'm rolling my D6s from Cyberpunk Red.
Hey, so was I.
So that's a max damage for 6 points of piercing. 9 points of piercing, and I will trace the lightning rune, Rorik's right lightning rune on him. And then with my final action, I think I'm just going to go ahead and... I can't wait to show you more. Maybe that's right. I'm not sure. I believe it's one action to invoke. Yeah, and then I'm just going to go ahead and immediately invoke the rune, and... he's going to take 2d6 on a basic fortitude save. Ooh.
2d6 what damage?
Lightning damage.
28.
That's going to pass. Is that a critical success? Yeah, it's a critical success.
Oh, no.
That sucks.
Jeez. Lightning just bounces off of him into the ground.
Yeah. What the heck? At least I got his... good striking on him.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be turn. Yeah.
All right.
So
it is Edmund's turn now.
Okay. Definitely want to do a knowledge check so you can figure out what the hell this thing is.
Okay.
I would like to do Arcana, obviously, because that is my best. But if that is not applicable, then I can roll a
little
check. Or occultism. That's fine too.
No, you can. I'll give you Arcana, but it's gonna be a higher DC.
Okay.
Because you deal with the arcane, but I feel like you deal with conjuration. You deal with there's necromancy in the in the arcane arts.
I know a lot about Last Wall, so yeah.
Yeah.
So that is going to be a 28 total.
Oh man,
nice.
Bingo! You got
nice.
This is a sulfur zombie.
Gross! Ooh, it's stinky. Oh,
that's cool. I like that name.
Mm-hmm. This is a sulfur zombie. Let's see. Fun things there are about these specifically. Okay. Yeah, so... Yeah, these odious creatures spawn from the combination of necromancy and fire. These destructive creations sow chaos and demolish fortifications, making them the bane of besieged cities. You learn... What do you want to know about this thing?
I want to know... if it doesn't have any weaknesses and stuff like that, I want to know if that fire thing was on the attack, or if that's just like if it touches something, like does it catch on fire?
I'll give you both. It does have immunity to fire.
Okay, yeah. Huh. Yep.
And the ability that you use is called Blinding Sulfur. The sulfur zombie burned with a putrid inner fire. A creature hit by a sulfur zombie's fist strike must attempt a fortitude save. And on a failure, the creature can be blinded for one round or 1 minute on a critical fail.
Yikes.
Okay. Okay. So here is what Edmund is going to do. Edmund is going to, all of a sudden realizing that if this thing touches you, you can go blind. He screams that out. He's like, don't let you touch it. You'll fucking go blind. And he will take a small, he'll open up his cloak and he takes out a small vine. And he wraps it around his finger and he shoots it out at this thing. And he casts something called Grasping Vine. I needed to make a reflex save.
23. Rolling pretty well.
Dang!
Oh, dang it! Okay, so you are grabbed by this vine. Target is grabbed until the end of your next turn, unless it escapes or destroys the vine. At which point the spell ends. But what I was going for here is the failure means that I can reposition it. So I would have been able to push it 5 feet, and then we could just peck it off while I held it in place. But so for right now, it's grabbed. So you can at least use that to your advantage with your attacks.
I mean, that's a great like success condition. Is grab. Yeah. That's like kind of better than trying to grapple.
Well, and it's also a focus spell too, so I can just get that back with a 10 minutes.
Sick.
So. Yeah, it's a good spell. All right, so it's grabbed at least.
Let's see. Let me add some conditions. Do confuse.
Grab. Right, so yeah, so that was the main thing. Was just that he just wanted to make sure you guys knew that you could go blind if it hits you, and then it's grabbed. So that's his entire turn.
All right, it is Corbinian's turn.
Corbinian will lash out with a vitality. So make me the fortitude save.
If it ain't broke, don't stop casting it.
Yep.
Fortitude 25.
Oh, so, oh my god. Success. You take half damage.
Kelly's just
sweat.
Rolling.
You know, Black Oak Workshop is coming in clutch. I see one of my D6s got a 6. So there's going to be 5 points of vitality after getting halved, and hopefully I proc a weakness.
The extra burn, the holy damage just rips into its undead flesh. More acrid smoke comes out as you do some extra damage there.
Nice.
All right, but it's still kicking, and it is Theron's turn again.
Well, actually,
Corbinian, you still got an action.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to do battle medicine on myself because I think I'm probably not immune now, and I still have HP to recover, so might as well use my actions. Hey, look at that, 19 on the die, so I get 2d8 back.
What's up, Inspector Mueller?
Dang, Black Oak Workshop. All right, I'm all filled up now.
Nice. I'll stop expecting to go, and Corbinian takes out a knife and throws it at
him. Throws it at him. Fuck you!
Right in the back, crit.
Half Yarn, can you roll your flat check for the persistent fire?
Ooh, yeah. 7.
Okay, you're still on fire.
Great.
Theron.
But isn't it raining? Bucketing rain?
There's enough of a roof here.
Oh, I knew he was going to say that. I knew he was
just enough.
Just go into the rain. My God,
it was going to be. We're under the one
it,
part of the
it
roof.
Hit
still
him
there.
Underneath the rain cloak, and he's on fire in the cloak.
Dang!
Literally, the cloak.
Oh. Take off the cloak, you fool!
But then I'll get wet.
Okay.
I also like to think of the fire damage this thing does is almost like napalm. It's just like stuck to you.
Oh, yeah.
It's like gross, like zombie, like fire napalm goo coming out of it.
Yuck.
Napalm. Okay, so Theron. Theron is actually, he's going to do something, just getting a glimpse of this thing, and also the fact that he said, Edmund said it was, what, immune to fire and all that fun stuff?
Yes. Yep.
So, he's thinking, Theron has a kind of connection to the plane of fire and stuff like that. So he's actually going to use one action to use something called Extract Element. He is going to target the sulfur zombie, and it needs to roll a fortune save.
Oh, cool. I've always wanted to see this ability get used.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I know this one. This sounds cool.
Yeah, this thing please does fail, this thing fail. Does have the fire trait, so this is applicable.
What?
Yeah,
yep.
That's what I was seeing. I was like, sulfur. I was like, it has to have fire. It has to. I'm too dumb. I don't know.
You said fortitude, right?
Yes.
The good rolls just keep coming. 28.
No,
that's not a crit. It's a success.
I didn't know this was a mini boss kill.
It is when I'm. Yeah, it is when I don't roll anything below an 11.
Okay. So success, it still does something to it. You're only going to take 2 points of damage, as it looks like fire is being ripped away from it and adding to the aura around me.
Oh, Theron. Cool.
So, and the cool thing that it does is that it makes it more susceptible to my impulses. Ooh, so pretty much what happens is any impulse that I do that's fire, it's no longer immune to my fire. It gains resistance now. Oh. However, the thing is, it also gets a -1 circumstance penalty to its saves and AC against my impulses.
Oh, that's cool.
Sick.
And I ripped it away, because it's basically I'm using its essence as a way to attack now. Like, I know it.
Oh, that's dope.
So... yeah, so, with the extract element being activated, that was one action. So the second action he's going to do is that, and it also, wait, hold on, it lasts for 5 minutes as well. Oh, nice. So,
dude!
That's good
ability.
Yeah, that's resistance equal to level 2 damage from the impulse.
And you like have to run into a creature that has the element of one of your elements.
I'm sharing. So, earth or fire.
That's
one or the other. So, the second one he's going to do is... he's going to... oh, why not? Since he's a distance away, he is going to activate Tremor. Tremor is... he's going to center it on the zombie here. Like, in this field, that 10-foot burst. And God, roll another fortitude save, Kelly.
But at a -1,
please
right?
Fail it.
Can't roll good forever, Kel.
Well,
no, don't kiss it. Don't kiss it.
The kiss failed me. It was a natural 3.
Yes.
So that'll be 16.
God. Okay, you take 2d6, 2d8 damage. So that'll be 12 points of damage. That overflows, so my aura dissipates for a moment. And also. Earth and a creature that feels is fail prone. Earth and stone in the area is difficult terrain until the start of my next turn. But it is difficult terrain, so in case it tries to move, it has to have an issue. So so that is my turn.
Okay. And he's grabbed, not immobilized, right?
Just grabbed for me. Yeah.
All right. Well, he.
I'm sure, this thing is. Confound this creature. Be sure they are. Cannot create. Cannot cremate it, so we have to bury it.
Yeah, so if he has the faculties, he can attack the vine or try to escape.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. If he's mindless, I'm guessing he is. Yeah, he is mindless. Okay, so he's just. He's just gonna.
He's a zombie.
He's got someone in range, he's gonna attack him. So coming right back at you. Half yarn.
Here we go.
Miss on the first.
Good. Finally. Oh, shield up. We got the shield up there this time.
Oh man, back to back natural 2s.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And that's his turn. He's slowed. So I attacked you one too many times last time. So those are his actions. So
nice.
He's like the. you saw Theron, like, extract the fire from his, like, his glowing, like, fire veins are all, like, dimmer, and the smoke kind of, like, dissipates just a tad as his fire energy has kind of been consumed. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it threw him off. He can't hit you at all.
Let's go. All right.
And, yeah, it's your turn. So, Half Iron's turn.
Yeah, Half Iron will once again raise his shield, and will trace another rune on it, all with one action. And then he will, with a second action, do another engraving strike. That's going to be a 20.
Hit because he's grabbed.
Ooh,
nice.
Alright, so it's going to be 4 points of piercing. And trying to decide if I want to invoke or if I want to do something else here. You know what?
I don't know if you just want to also take an action once you're done attacking to just back off of him. So he wastes an action.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I am gonna bait him, yeah. I think
because he's grabbed, right?
I will.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take a step back, knowing that he'd either need to break free of it, and if he doesn't move, he's still going to get shocked by the lightning rune from staying in one spot. So yeah, he'll take a step back.
Okay.
All right, Edmund. You throw a knife at Corbinian?
No, I don't have a knife.
Here's a piece of rubble.
Here's a piece of burnt wood.
Is there a really sharp stick somewhere? I am going to point my finger at this creature again, and I'm going to shoot a phase bolt at it. So I just need to make an attack roll.
Cast phase bolt.
It's going to be a 22 hit. Okay. So let me go ahead and roll. So this is going to be 4d4 piercing damage. For 10 points of piercing. Alright. And then... I don't think that there's anything else I can do for one action. Yeah, because I... sustain the grab is the other thing.
Oh, okay. So,
yep, yeah, because I need to sustain the grasping vine, but...
Half Iron, you take 6 fire damage that I forgot about, and roll your flat check.
Oh, yeah, thank you. 12.
Fail. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Good times. How many points? How many 6. Points is it? I'm sorry. 6. Okay.
All right, Corbinian.
Corbinian's going to keep lashing out. Roll that fortitude save.
God,
sorry. Oh, thankfully, not a crit. So half damage is going to be 5 points of vitality damage.
Do the same amount of damage as last time.
Yep.
He hisses with the extra damage.
Yes. It's all about consistency, guys.
Exactly.
Yep.
I guess the last thing is I'm just going to raise shield. This seems to be the best move.
The Chiefs lost. Suck it, Patty Mahomes.
Fucking Kermit the quarterback.
Oh, Patty Mahomes.
Okay, so now it's Theron's turn.
Okay, so the thing is, when I did that overflow, the aura dropped, so basically that effect went away. But that simply means I could just do it again. So one action, re-up my aura, so fire and all that stuff comes back. And make a fortitude save, because he's going to yank that fire out of this creature as much as possible.
My fire. 30.
My fire.
I'm rolling really well, man.
Dang.
Unaffected.
Ridiculous.
Unaffected. Unaffected.
Okay, so whatever. Impulse attack. Whatever. Don't
care. Were you trying to drain him again?
Yeah, I was trying to do it. It's a critical effect. Nothing happens. Yeah. That is a 22 to hit, though.
That's a hit.
With not fire, earth. He just chucks it, just tries to yank the fire, and just nothing's. God, confound this creature. And instead just says, take a rock. rock in the face.
See the sulfur zombie is played by Vin Diesel, and it's written in his contract that he can't lose a fight in this game.
All the other zombies are family. That was max damage for 8 points of damage.
All right.
He just gets smacked in the face with this.
That's a good one. This guy's starting to look a little worse for the wear.
Beautiful. And that's all my actions.
All right. It's good. It's the sulfur zombie's turn, and yeah, his food moved away, so he's going to start thrashing away at these vines. That's going to be 27 to rip the vines away.
Oh my gosh.
Yep, I'm going to say this as an escape check. That is definitely going to be a success. All right.
What was the escape DC?
It's my spell DC.
Yeah.
Oh, 19 probably. Okay.
Yep.
Stats. What? That wasted his...
Right,
that wasted one action of his two.
So he's no longer grabbed, but now he has to waste his next action to move.
Yep, and he's offended by you stealing his fire, so he's coming after you, Theron. But he only is able to get up to you.
I'll fucking do it again.
I'll fucking do it again.
I'll do it again. He creaks his little head around at you. Like smoke just pours out of his mouth. Is it kind of like
just like punches into his hand and just fire comes out? He goes, "Bring it on!"
But it is now the half iron's turn, and the zombie moved into a nice little flanking situation for you.
He's going to sidestep into a flanking position here.
Flank it up,
and he is going to raise shield along with a. Another rune on the shield, and then he is going to strike. Oh, he did move on his turn, right? Yeah, he did. He did end up moving. Never mind. I was going to say he was D4, but it doesn't matter. And he is going to engraving strike again. Actually, he's just going to strike because he's already I'm trying to think if there's anything. You know what he's going to do? He's going to move. Okay, sorry. I'm going to redo this real quick. He's going to move, and then he's going to trace on his spear. A Diatric Rune of Preservation onto his Rune of Whetstone, allowing him to invoke the Whetstone Rune and then have it retrace onto his spear. So he is going to need to roll a Fortitude save as the sharpness from his spear is released, doing 2d6 slashing damage to the creature adjacent to the Rune Bearer with a basic Fortitude save.
29.
Oh.
God damn it, Kelly.
What?
Oh my god. What the fuck is going on?
Rocks.
Jesus, dude.
This is insane. At least I didn't waste the room.
Every single save I've had to make this time with his best save, which is Fortitude. I have not rolled below an 11 on his Fortitude save. The only bad rolls have been a couple of attack rolls.
I should have just stabbed him.
Tough. This guy's made of beef.
Somebody get our GM a dice tray and stat.
I mean, he's definitely.
We need a gypsy to curse his dice.
Hold on, good old hardwood.
No plague zombie.
Good hardwood.
I don't like the way you're saying
that.
The harder the better.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, do you like another 1 point of fire damage?
I'll take it, and I'll roll that flat check. 17!
You finally put it out. Alright, and it's Edmund's turn.
Okay.
Did you do damage to him, Jed?
Yeah.
Not that round.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Alright, Edmund is going to move up here to have a clear shot at him. Could be next to Corbinian.
Tax Corbinian.
No, it's going away from Corbinian this time. It's impossible to hit him.
Bounces
off the zombie.
I'm remembering a hero point this time.
Your closest teammate.
another phase bolt at him. For a 24.
That's it.
Okay. another 4d4 points of piercing damage for 9 points of piercing damage.
All right. Still up.
Dead, right?
Dang it. Still up. And now it's Corbinian's turn.
Roll me a fortune save, brother. Please roll nat 1. I want to do some double damage. Come on. Please. Just once.
We are requesting.
You're requesting you double damage.
33.
What? Dang.
Jesus Christ.
Dang.
And they're going up.
It's going up.
They can't get much higher.
It's going up.
It up now.
One higher.
Can we get much higher?
Literally insane run of fortitude saves. I cannot believe how resilient this fucker has been.
Guys, lay off the fort, please. My
oh
God.
My lord. He never skips.
Is that a critical success?
Yes. So you just see the vitality lash like harmlessly just dissipate against this creature.
Wow. Just wow.
Yeah, Corbinian just looks down at his hands. He looks at his allies, and he just like cocks his head a little bit. He's like, "Phrasma, what are you trying to tell me? Is it their time to go? Already, we just started." And he's like looking at Theron and in the half yard, wondering if Phrasma has plans for them to make a visit.
Oh my lord! How it goes. Cannot believe this. So crazy. Well, Theron, let's go, man.
All right, so Aura's up. First action. He's going to try to extract element again.
Okay.
So make four save.
Come on.
You can't roll good forever. Again.
That's impossible.
Finally came down. 19.
That makes it exactly. But...
natural 5.
But it makes it, but... okay. Not bad damage. 3 points of damage. That was halved. So, 3 points of damage.
Wait. He was still under the effects of it, your previous one, right?
No. It goes away since with I used overflow. An overflow. Okay. Yeah. I got to re-up aura, and they said, like, pretty much whatever happens. If my aura disappears, the effect is pointed.
Gotcha.
So, he still rips away the fire. He goes, "By Ymir's breath, I am the fire." And he... he did 3 points of damage there, and he is going to use an elemental blast again, like just straight up just trying to chunk a rock right through this thing's chest.
Can you do the blast as a melee attack?
I don't know. Sure.
I can't remember if the impulsive blast can be melee and range. I can't remember.
It doesn't say, really. It just says impulse attack. It just has the attack trait. For each attack you make beyond the first on your turn, make multiple attack traits. So I'm not too sure. I mean, I could just easily
then
just
make
step
it
back.
Melee or range. So you can do a melee, which means you can get the flanking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Elemental blast can be melee or range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, so he's just going to melee, like, it's kind of like the earth is surrounding his fist, and he just punches at this point.
Right on.
Which, that would be a 22, which, I mean, it's not crit.
It's a hit.
With his, yeah, it's a hit, so I'll take it. 1d8. Oh, 7 points of earth damage.
Gut punch this thing with your rock. Rock fist.
Rock fist.
And anything else from you?
That was one action. That was two actions. He's just going to raise his shield at the final action. Because he wants to give Hafjorn flanking still.
Alright. Well, it is back to the Sulfur Zombie's turn. He's gonna start smacking you.
Okay, I figured.
29.
Man, that's a hit, not a crit.
Ugh.
Yikes.
I don't even know what that fucking is. It's a 4. Okay. 9 damage. 9 bludgeoning damage. And you catch fire. And roll me a fortitude save.
22.
All right, you're all right. Your eyes are burning, but you you managed to stave it off.
Shuts it off.
You wipe the sulfur out of your eyes. God.
Blinks a few times. Maybe you just kind of clears up.
Yeah, maybe you invoke your fire element to kind of steal you from the burn. He will go again. Ooh, 27.
Ah, that's still ahead.
Yeah.
That'll be 8 damage. And roll a fortitude save.
Even higher. 25.
All right, you're fine. You're still fine.
My fortitude save is plus 11.
Good, good, good. Good. All right, so you stave off the blindness. We've got a couple juicy hits in, and it is now the Half-Baron's turn.
Yes.
Can you bring him down?
We'll see. He is going to... trace another rune on his shield, and then he is going to stab at this guy once again. Oh, he didn't move. He takes the 1d4 lightning damage from his from the rune. Ooh, max damage, 4 points of lightning. So he'll take that for not moving, and then I will try to trace another one on him. With a tracing strike. Not great. 19.
What is this? To hit?
To hit, yeah.
Because you're flanking, you hit him exactly.
Oh, yes. Nice!
Oh, good.
Alright, he's gonna take 8 points of piercing. And the rune goes on.
Alright, is that it?
And then... I feel like I'm gonna have better luck leaving the rune on him than invoking it and hurting myself and waiting for another bad fortitude save. So I'm just gonna leave it on.
Might as well.
Let's see. What else? What else can I do here?
He is looking pretty bad.
Yeah. I guess I'll go for another stab. We'll see how this goes. Okay.
Just roll like Kelly.
Okay.
It's fine.
Natural 19.
You got him.
That was good.
That's, sorry, I'm doing math in my head. It's gonna be...
Should be sorry.
24.
Sorry, out of family.
Yeah, you got him.
Okay. And that's gonna be... 6 more points of damage. Piercing.
You stab your spear into him. Pierce him, he screeches out. As you pull your spear out, smoke starts to really start to pour out of this guy.
Oh no.
Bloats and bloats.
Shit.
And he explodes.
It's a boomer.
In fire and rubber in a 30-foot emanation. You will all roll a reflex save now.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
None of us were able to. I had actions at the end of my turn that I raised shield that I could have been doing knowledge.
Because that's more knowledge. I was like, man, I was hoping someone was going to roll another knowledge. Actually, I was hoping you weren't going to, but.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
Do I roll? Do I use a hero point on
this? You might want to.
Well, I got a 9 on the die, so, like, it's like, you know, it's a mid roll, but, like, I could get really low.
Let's start with the half iron. What'd you get?
That's going to be a 10.
What?
Oh, God.
You have a hero point. Wait, you have a hero point.
I think I'm going to use a hero point.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
This thing explodes in a flash of light, and Half-Yarn is transported to another place, and we see a younger version of himself lying in what appears to be like a bog, and you see his... shield is shattered to pieces next to him, his spear is split in half, and his arm is missing. Post-prosthesis, that he has a prosthetic arm, but this is clearly when he lost his arm.
Oh, wow.
And he's crawling, towards something in the distance you can't see, and he's crawling and he looks up, and there is a Valkyrie standing above him. And then he comes back, and I will roll his second roll.
Whoa! That's sick.
Does the Valkyrie save you?
And that is going to be not a whole lot better, but 19.
Okay. Theron?
20.
Okay. Corbinium?
I rolled a nat 1.
Oh my god.
Oh, you better
hero point, man. Hero point, because I have a feeling this is not going to be good.
But the way I'm thinking about it is, like, it's just going to be damage, right? If y'all could what is more valuable, a hero point or one of our potions? I just don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, do what you want. I don't care.
I don't think anyone else has medicine.
Nope.
Oh, does Edmund have it?
I do. I have a. I'm trained.
I'm re-rolling it. You'd kill me.
Wow.
You'd kill me.
Wait, I just stick my fingers in the wound, right? And I just wait for it?
No, look, I'm going to cut off the burnt skin.
All right, that's a lot better. Okay, so, Corbinian is also transported to a different time and place. Corbinian is, he's in his 20s, so he looks pretty young. But we see a younger Corbinian. He looks like he's maybe 18, 19, that sort of thing. And he seems to be in some sort of dwarven-esque settlement, environment of some kind. And you see him fighting undead, and it's just like a horde of undead. He's shoulder to shoulder with a bunch of dwarves, and they're just, he's vitality lashing. They're cutting down zombies left and right and left and right and left and right. And out of the horde comes a zombie that looks slightly different than this sulfur zombie, but it's the same situation of they're cutting it down and it erupts in like a ball of like acid, like it was filled with acid. So kind of tangentially related, but not the fire element, but an acid element. And he remembers that time, it comes back to him, and he tries to bury himself behind some rubble with a 21.
Okay. Edmund.
Okay. 17.
DC 19.
Oh
my gosh.
I knew it was going to be a fail for me, but that's why I was like, I'm not rerolling the die.
Right.
Like, I'm going to get a good fail.
I was thinking that too. I was like, I don't want to try rerolling.
Dang.
Yep. I might go down, but I will not be dead.
I will
be just straight up dead.
Very average damage on 2d10 bludgeoning, 2d10 fire.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I could still go down from this easily.
For 20 damage.
Okay, I would have gone down. Dying too.
Half yard went down.
Goes down.
20 points of damage, that was all I had left. Exactly what I needed to go down.
Oh my god.
Kelly, real fast for you. This attack, right? Is it? It doesn't have the void trait, or it was treated by an undead creature, right? A saving, because if I roll success on a saving throw against an infect, because I have something called Death Ward and Dwarf, ward off death passed on to you. If you roll success on a saving throw against an effect that has the void trait or was created by an undead creature, you get crit success instead. Would this count?
I would say so.
Okay. Beautiful.
Sweet.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool.
It doesn't have the void trait, but it is
an undead.
It's an undead creature.
Okay.
Yeah. It's called Death Throes.
Oh, okay, that's a name there, buddy.
Yeah.
You would need special abilities to shield block on an explosion like this, correct?
I think there's an ability that you can use, a feat
you can get where you can add your AC bonus to your
I remember your reading that. I was like, no, this ain't gonna help here, I don't think.
Alright, well, the half yarn is down, and Theron is still on fire. So they're just tanks at a time. It comes to the half urn's turn. You are go ahead and roll your.
Well, he'd get moved in initiative right before the creature.
Yep.
So we all get to act, basically.
Yep. So Edmund, you're up.
Edmund's going to. I want to go over and I want to help Theron get the fire out. So I want to just like take like some dirt or something like that and try to like you know throw it on him.
Rub some dirt in your eye.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. It's I believe it's a two actions to aid in someone. So you can run over and you can.
Yeah.
You can aid him and to lower the DC down to 10.
Yep.
Okay, and then it is Corbinian's turn.
Let's see, Corbinian will... I think I want to treat wounds. Yeah, so I'm going to move over. It's like I have one heal left. Should I go for the guaranteed? Because if I don't go for the guaranteed roll on that one... He has a good chance of dying. So let's just go for the guaranteed heal.
Yeah.
Why not?
Also boost him up quite a bit, too.
Yeah, exactly. So that we don't have to spend too much time later healing you up. All right. Oh. Lack of worship. So that's going to be 28 points of healing.
Ooh.
As half
yard. So you can also do first aid, which is a really low DC.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just hoping I get my 8 hours before the zombies come.
Okay.
Because not to peek behind the curtain a bit too much, but when we head back to the general store, Corbinian's going right to bed. Y'all can barricade.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. As you cast heal on Halfyard, he like his eyes snap open and he like sits up and he's clearly shaken and he just sits up and goes, "She told me. She told me it wasn't time yet." And then he kind of looks around at everybody and then looks up at you guys and then kind of looks really spooked and then relaxes.
Yeah.
Pulls the blueberry liquor out.
Yeah.
And takes a swig.
Yeah. Corbinian gives you a very like deranged look and he's like, "No, not yet. If it was your time, I would make sure you reach here quick."
He was about to slit your throat if he failed that medicine check. He's like, "Well, nothing I can do."
Alright, and last but not least, Theron, you're going to take your damage.
Okay.
4 fire damage.
Yeesh. Okay.
And go ahead and roll your flat check.
Come on.
It is a 10 right now, correct?
Yep, 10. Yep.
Alright, let me set the damage first. Let's fully roll. And... an 11.
Oh, thank God. Okay,
all right, so you stop, drop, and roll.
He just kind of like sloughs, it just kind of flexes the fire off of him. Poor imitation. It's out of here.
So, fight ends. You all are a little beaten. And Half Iron and Corbinian, as you look over into that corner where the zombie popped out of, you see a hand, a charred hand, underneath more of that rubble. And if you guys like push it to the side, you see you see 3 more bodies.
Oh wow!
All dead, charred. They're not zombies, but
okay. These
people were in here when this building burned down.
Yeah. Ooh, jeez.
And we'll see you next time.
Cool. Chilling.